City Community Dialogue, February 28th. Agenda, the news media and the minority community.
We'll call these the minutes, the notes, but the official minutes is the tape recorded, the tape that stays here in the files permanently. We try to summarize the point. These are not to be considered the official minutes, as ordinarily we would consider such in other kinds of meetings. But it does give us the record. To the agenda, and before doing so, may I first mention that the entire committee again, as is most of your committee, George, the committee of the Communications Committee, a task force of the Urban Coalition, is with us. If all your members are not at the table, would you ask them to come on up to the table, Mr. Scott, please? There are members who were invited in addition to the task force initially 2 weeks ago or a month ago now as people from the community involved with communications or who themselves have been involved with media and communications. And some of them are here too, and as they participate, I'm going to ask them if they will also give their name, those who were invited. And those who are here for the first time, if you will let us know who you are, whether invited or not, will help us. Now for those who are here for the first time, the purpose of such a forum is not to seek agreement. We consider that least important of the ingredients for understanding a good discourse. We are concerned with understanding, that we understand one and the other. And we're concerned that out of this, each talk should talk to the issue involved, to a point, as opposed to personal attacks on individuals. Obviously, it has little meaning if it's all in nice, polite manners. However, we do not expect that everyone will be cool and calm. We expect, however, that when the feelings are there, they should come out, say it in your natural way, how you feel it, but stay away from personal attacks on individuals. Concern ourselves with the points involved or the issues involved, and allow others, for example, to do the same. Looking then at the agenda, it is the Urban Coalition Communication Task Force and the minority community. We're going to start with that at this moment. The chairman of that task force is Mr. George Scott, and at this time we'll introduce him, and he may take it from there in terms of his coalition task force. Mr. Scott.
Thank you. I understand you want to know what we are doing or not doing. Is that correct?
What you're doing, correct. And how we might react to that, offer ideas or what have you.
Well, We have been in business now for about a year. We have constantly sought to expand our committee so that we not only have representation of all of the media, all types of media in the entire county, as we are urban coalition supposed to serve over the whole county. We think that our committee is about as representative, our task force is about as representative of countywide representation as any of the task forces, and it ought to be, because what we're dealing with, what we're talking about here today, has no boundaries, although some people have tried to tell us that it did have boundaries. So that's the makeup of our committee. We've had, in the making up of our committee, we've had naturally asked some of the news media, whether it's TV, radio, or newspapers, printed word, some other publication, such as Pure, and we've asked them to give us representations, and in two or three instances, after the individual has either refused or been unable to attend our meeting, we have asked for a change of representation. And I think everyone has to remember that under the rules of the Urban Coalition, the task forces cannot of themselves either appoint or change the membership on the task forces. This has to go to the executive committee of the Urban Coalition to make the actual appointment.
Well, however, something about that structure then, so others that are not familiar with it can understand that kind of
I mean, the point of how the people are appointed.
Urban Coalition, they're in committee, or the executive committee. So we know what the Urban Coalition is all about.
Well, I don't think the Urban Coalition knows what it's all about. I'd like to get that on the record.
You'd like to have that on the record?
Well, the Urban Coalition formed some year and a half ago, isn't it, right? About a year and a half.
A year ago.
A year ago, isn't it?
Not quite a year.
No. And it's supposed to be, and I think it attempts to be, representative of supposedly the people who can get things done, as the mayor reminded us sitting in that chair at the last meeting, when there was a discussion about one of our task forces recommending that certain people be elected to the Urban Coalition. And I'll come back to that. But anyway, it's made up of the people who are supposed to have, one has to be careful how they say this, influence, because it's not that, but who are supposed to have a concern and have desire to be educated about their concern, but who also have the ability, if necessary, to see that things get done. It's been a learning process, I think, for most of us who are at that level and sit at this table. And it's about 40 individuals, really. All men.
All men?
Up to now.
You want that on the record too, I take it, huh?
Yeah.
What color are the men? Well, you'll get to that.
Men are black, brown, white, and yellow, which is a color that doesn't very often get mentioned in these communications. And I think the attendance of the individuals has been rather good. And this is just one man speaking. I'm only a member of the committee. I have no role in the Urban Coalition other than that of the chairman of the task force on communication. The Urban Coalition works through about 10 task forces: education, law and order, communications, youth,
housing,
education. Well, they're all broken down in that way. There have been a number of changes in the leadership of the task forces. Very interested men who in their own business or profession have demonstrated their interest and concern and doing something about it, but have for reasons, one of health, one of tremendous challenge in his business, has had to resign the chairmanship of the task force. And I think at the present time there's one task force that's open. I believe it's the one on employment, isn't it? Yeah, one on employment. And we work through these task forces. Now, we are required in the task force, and I use the word advisably because we all agreed that this was the way that we should work, that the point I made earlier, that no task force of themselves appoints members to their group, to their task force. And this is all agreed in the beginning, and it's been carried out. However, I'd like to repeat that the members who are recommended, very seldom are they turned down. The procedure of the task force are that when our committees meet, and we meet very often, and all of them meet very often, in our particular task force, the communications task force, we have the minutes of all of the other task forces. The simple reason that we are supposed to properly interpret their actions or lack of it to the community. The procedure is that after the task forces have their meeting and take certain actions, we are required, and that's a good word, to prepare for the executive committee of the task force the pros and cons of our actions, that which we recommend or do not recommend. We have to document. They require us to know our job well enough and to know what we're doing well enough to be able to spell out in writing both sides of a point that we want to either be for or against. In most cases, I'm glad to say, I think we've been for. But now to go back to the point I made about no woman on the committee. The last meeting of the task force in this room, the youth task force made a recommendation that two individuals be elected to the Total Urban Coalition Board of Directors. And this was debated at great length because the point was made, are these people who can carry out the so-called role of the Urban Coalition? Are they people who can get things done, who can even get things done behind the scenes to see that it does get done? This debate went on, not with unkindness, and in the same spirit that you mentioned, personalities were left out of it, as you said we should do here today. That was all left out of there, but the net result of it was, and I only say this to make the point, that I made a motion, you were here, that these individuals be elected. The main thing that they were worried about was not that they were females, but that they were young, which sounded to me rather ridiculous. And so it was adopted unanimously. But the reason I'm spelling this out is that there's this constant evaluation as to what the makeup of the task force. Apparently some felt that you either had to be male and old, which I resented, on the latter part, to be on the board of directors of the Urban Coalition. Implying that women can't get things done, and we know they can. They've got their own little way, you know, but they get it done, and I'm all for it. So I'm explaining to you the makeup of how our comes to pass. Now, we have in our own task force, over the period of time, we have made a number of changes, and we have actually, quote unquote, through this procedure I have, and we have fired. We're supposed to fire people with enthusiasm, and we try that too, but we have fired a couple of our members who have not attended, or whom we actually did not feel were representative and weren't getting the message as to what we were supposed to be getting done. And also in one particular case where we did not feel that they properly represented very important media in this area. We are the same task force that at our big meeting when Dr. Gardner was here, passed the resolution of and pointing out things that can be improved of the San Diego Union Tribune. And it was at this level that we asked for a change on the member of our committee. And I noticed that from the last meeting that you had, that the man who was appointed at our request, General Kulak, was in attendance, and he's there. I know he's here.
Just walk in.
I know. Couldn't care less. So we also have a committee of the our task force that, after much discussion on our part with all participating in it, we've had a committee that has, you may or may not think this is a good idea, we thought so, that has worked sort of behind the scenes, that does not always give full reports to the task force. And this committee, we think, has functioned rather well, although some of the things that were brought out in your last meeting, as I read from the minutes, would point out that there's still much to be done. In other words, they have worked with the media, all the media, to get certain things done without making a big issue of it, and knowing that in most cases it wouldn't be publicized anyway, and that it maybe ought not to be, but that certain things ought to change, the manner in which possibly the news media handles certain things in the minority, so-called minority community, many things of this nature. And we've had that committee headed by a gentleman who is the publisher, publisher of the Sentinel newspaper. And he has worked with a committee that has had on it some members of the religious community and some just private businessmen and one person who's in the professional field applied here to have certain things changed quietly with a, very honestly, and you more likely want to discuss this, with the feeling that at least in our first year we should give people an opportunity to quote unquote see the light, to change, and yet to do it in a way that some of us can save face. So I'm being very honest with you to tell you that all things don't come out in our so-called minutes. However, the Urban Coalition as such knows that we have been working in this direction and still have much to do. In addition to that, we are under the rule set up for our particular committee. We are charged with the responsibility of seeing that the work of the Urban Coalition, the actions that they take, are properly publicized. And this we have been doing, and we do a constant analysis of it through Clive and through Wayne Neal. We have to do an evaluation as to whether or not we're getting actual results or just lip service at our committee, because you must remember that our committee is made up of the people who actually are on those media. And we check this out all the time, and this when we feel that it's not, this is the sort of thing we turn over to Mr. Myers, and he checks it back for us through individual visits, and then he lets us know about it. We have been giving much consideration to the things that we feel, our committee feels, that we should do beyond just being the handmaidens of the Urban Coalition as such, the total Urban Coalition, namely the point of getting out their news about their actions, about what they do and don't do. We have been very conscious of the fact that we think that we should be doing things on our own in the field of communication. To that end, we have had under study through a committee headed by Mr. Dan McKinnon here with a number of meetings. We've been considering the putting together of a publication that can not only tell what the Urban Coalition is doing, but can point out what a great many other groups are doing that are good in this community, to offset some of the stuff that gets, we think, handled improperly from the standpoint of the bad. We have been studying this, and we have received a $50,000 grant to our committee, which is not, does not go to the Urban Coalition. They can't get their hands on any of it.
It makes that very clear.
Yes. Our committee has this grant to use in this connection. We also, as a result of our meeting with Dr. Gardner is here, which many of you attended, we adopted a resolution that we could see what we could do to help the Cure magazine's representative is here as one of the media of communication. That was the resolution that was adopted. The Urban Coalition Board of Directors encouraged us to proceed to look into this thing. We had a meeting to discuss this, and it was decided that even though we had this grant, and even though we are considering this publication of our own, which of course has come out under the name of the Urban Coalition as such, we decided that we could not start to sponsor either directly or indirectly or with funds any particular media. But in the case of Cure, we recommended where they could find a source of funds to help them expand their own media. And in addition to that, Mr. Ty Thompson here, who is our staff man in connection with our task force, prepares Urban Coalition News, which is put in, or will be put in as an insert into Cure, and he's written a number of articles, isn't that correct? For that particular media. So this is the area in which we are moving, both directly with the existing media and in an attempt to get things done. We have been working with one member of our committee who has a television program to arrange for all of the task force chairmen to appear as his guests on his program, which is on station 39. And this is now in the process of being worked out. We have had under consideration for quite some time now in the realm of the point of where we want to do something on our own. We have made a study, and Dr. Neal, who is our executive, and as you know, our committee is funded not by the Urban Coalition, they haven't got a penny, but our commission, our task force, is funded from a separate private source to provide for staff, secretarial staff, space, all that for our own committee. We see that they are financed because there's a great deal to be done, an ongoing program. We can't do ours like some of the other task force, and it's not meant to be critical. We can't just do it in a meeting and then forget it. We have to keep at it all the time. We have therefore been making a study across the whole nation of programs done in other communities, not necessarily always by the Urban Coalition, because you must remember that there aren't too many cities that have the Urban Coalition. We made a study of things that they have done to stimulate, arouse, create an element of concern on the part of the whole community that would bring them into a closer understanding or at least less prejudice against things that the Urban Coalition is supposed to work for. As a result of that, we brought to San Diego here, a number of you met Mr. Murray from the New York City Urban Coalition. We brought him here with their to outline to us at our task force meeting the Give a Damn program. And we have analyzed that. I went back east also and spent 4 or 5 hours with them and found out that they are in the process of revamping their program. They found this Give a Damn program, which the newspapers, the radio, the television, and I might say particularly the television because it lends itself to that, have found this Give a Damn program, Do You Give a Damn, and then they do it with these pictures, rather hard to tell. We can document it a little bit later. They found it to be extremely effective, and that it has brought countless well-meaning, really concerned people into the programs where they have, because they have been organized, they have directed these people to areas where they could really be of help. Not necessarily in the kind of things that we're doing today, but in actual projects where small groups are trying to do something on their own. They have registered volunteers, and they have worked them out, and they have the staff that does this in the Urban Coalition in New York City. In addition to that, without any plan on their part, something happened that interests you and has a double side to it. They received some $86,000 in contributions which they hadn't counted on. People said, I give a damn, I cannot give time, or so-and-so, and then, as you know, many of us think we can buy our way into heaven and helping out in this problem today, this challenge today, and so I don't want to depreciate that, but nevertheless, they got $86,000 in contributions out of their program. Our group has discussed this at length, and again, this is under Mr. Dan McKinnon's committee, and you might be interested to know that we have voted to recommend to the Urban Coalition that we do this program.
The whole campaign?
Yes, that we do this program. However, and you mustn't laugh about this, but most of the time was spent trying to determine whether or not that San Diego is different from New York, and could we say damn? Don't laugh, but And, as a matter of fact, when I was giving the report at the board of directors of the Urban Coalition, I said that, it happens to be my own pastor, and he got a kick out of it, I said that he'd suggested, well, couldn't we say for heaven's sake? We voted that one down. However, our task force voted that we should go ahead with this program, and Dr. Wayne Neal has been developing all of the ideas and things that we might be able to use. And our, as you know, on Dan's committee, we have the media represented, and the direct media, and we think there'll be no difficulty in getting the full cooperation of this. However, we have to get people to wear badges and buttons and all that, so I give a damn and all that kind of thing. And I never thought I'd end up doing that, but it just shows you what this program can do to a man. And so I'm there. All right, Father.
Hey, I'll wear one in the pulpit.
Fine. I'm just kidding about that. Don't wear it yet, but you don't mind. We'd like to do our own bit. So, we have also invited out the, as I explained to you, and I've taken some time, the New York Urban Coalition is revising theirs, updating it, sort of. They've learned a few things out of it. And at the conclusion of their revamping, they are, Mr. Murray, John Murray, Jim Murray, is coming out here again to meet with us to help us wrap it up. And we're planning to have him come on a day when we can have our task force meet in the morning and then have him here to meet with the Urban Coalition Board of Directors, because we think we're going to need a little help, you see. Because remember what I told you, we have to document the pros and cons, which I think is rather good. I think when you make people, you know, you can make people sit and think, and especially if you can make them write out the pros and cons, it's very helpful both ways. So I'm all for that, although it aggravates you a little bit when you want to get rolling with things. Still, it's better that way. So we're going to have him here, Frankie, to help us to not necessarily sell, but to explain how this thing works. Well, those are some of the things that we work on. Then we were asked by the Employment Task Force last year to undertake the responsibility of matching up jobs to the large number of individuals that they registered for the summertime job program through the National Association of Businessmen. And we got together all of the relations agencies and secured through them the program, which had we paid for it. We figured out, I had the advertising manager of my store figure out what this would have cost if we paid for it. If my company had paid to do it, we would have spent $131,000 for the billboards, the radio, the television, the newspapers, tremendous way in which they did. And as you know, we actually oversold.
we ended up with more jobs available than there were people registered to take them. Now, under Mr. Sherwood Gordon, we have organized our subcommittee again, and the NAB themselves are reorganizing the manner in which they are recruiting those who will want the positions, and they have changed the job, the age level, etc., of all of that sort of thing, based upon a study in our community. And under Sherwood here, Sherry, we're here, we're ready again to turn loose the whole of public relations, etc., and the media back of this whole program again in the summertime. And we understand that we asked for a larger number of jobs. We have also gone to the Junior League and to the League of Women Voters and have asked them if they would undertake as a project the going on the telephone, that you make calls to the smaller businessman who very properly wonders, can I take one person? How do I do this sort of thing? So they have agreed that, one of the agencies has not yet completely agreed, they will undertake to do this for us from the standpoint of the telephoning to the smaller businesses, because we have no difficulty, at least we didn't last year, with the larger companies who can absorb these kind of people. And they have to understand that they have to do this over and above what their budgets call for and the numbers of people. They have got to do that, and their stockholders better understand it too. So we have worked along this line. I think there are possibly other things, but I can't think of them all. We have a religious community, a religious sub-task force. And when we were doing the job recruitment program, they worked for the churches. We sent out thousands of bulletins to them. We had it to mention from the pulpit. Not all of them did it, of course. But we had tremendous cooperation, and Father Rosera here worked with us under Dr. Mayo's leadership. We got that sort of thing all out. So generally, these are the areas in which we work, but we don't want to try to beat you to the punch, but we honestly tell you that we feel that we haven't even begun, because there's certain underlying things that still remain as a challenge to us, but the fact that we're here it indicates that we're just delighted. We, all of us in our task force, love this job. We like it. We like it. We it's even like getting our ears knocked down once in a while. We like it.
All right. Is there any other member of your task force who wishes now to add anything before we take up reactions to this and input from the group? Any other member?
I think I'd like to add the one thing that Mr. Scott is closer to probably than some of the others, and that is our working with the various organizations, the Mexican American group and so on. One of our committees just spent 3 days in Mexico recently on the Mexican American housing situation, working with the officials down there as well as with the local area. So it's rather a broad scope.
Yes, I forgot to mention that during the recent matter between the gas major company and the Mexican American community, we were asked the communication task force to meet with them, which we did, and I think they would be the first to agree that we possibly were helpful in helping to resolve this.
All right. Any other members?
The slide is our promotion.
Well, we've done quite a bit of publicity for other organizations also. The latest was Senior Citizens. And I think one of the most tangible things that the Urban Coalition has done has been the Logan Heights Industrial Enterprises. And they are having their grand opening Monday, March 3rd. And I think if any of you could get over there, you would get a glimpse of what probably is the first venture in black capitalism in San Diego.
Where is it?
It's at 30th and Imperial. 30th and Commercial.
There is in commercial. What time on Monday?
It will be from 9 to 12.
9 to 12 on Monday, March 30th, the 30th.
And we've already gotten acceptance from the mayor and Mr. Boney and the Board of Supervisors.
Boney from the Board of Supervisors.
And the mayor.
From the mayor.
We're in all places, though. Yeah, but we have our orders.
That's bad for you, General.
I figured I could hear just as well.
Well, we can't see you as well.
Well, I'm not sure that that's an issue.
Any other member of the task force wishes to add anything at this time? If not, we're going to... Yes, Father Sura.
It's a real privilege to be on this task force, this communication, and to hear this tremendous comment Mr. George Scott just made on this. It sure certainly includes everything, and I've been living right in the middle of all this thing, and I'm very grateful for that, where I am at Lady Guadalupe Church. And I hope to see more communication with everyone here, and that we can get some to continue to really do our work.
All right. Any other? More than opening it up, it seems to me that we might fill out our role with regard to this task force. It seems to me that they've covered several areas. I think all of them should be open for discussion, reactions to, et cetera. I also think, though, that one of the roles that this committee can play, everyone here, is to give them some kind of feel for some of the problems that you have encountered or we've encountered over the years, and on an individual basis, express how you feel about that area that you discussed. That will allow them to at least get, if they don't have already, a broad or broader base from which to operate. The point I'm making is, everything is up for discussion, and that task force has as its job to reflect these kinds of feelings and correct things that might need correcting, and the only way they can do that is to hear how you feel about these different issues. And individuals are here this morning who over the years have attempted to get certain things out, certain news out that would be reacting, that will, I hope, react in terms of giving you input for ideas. You have to go, you say. All right, would you tell us what you have so when you make it, we know why you're leaving?
Yeah, Carol, thank you. Yeah, I think this could be brought under communication because I'd like to.
You want a new topic, right?
Yes, it's a different topic, but it's under communications, I believe. If the concerns and the efforts there of the Logan Heights Community Action Council Area C and also the community people there, I don't know if everyone there is acquainted there with the effort that's been made by the children of the Stockton School and also thereby the parents and some of the community people that live there and the efforts there to change the name of Stockton School to Martin Luther King Jr. School. I would like to give you a little background there on it, and I'll be very brief. Was that the first there, room 7, the classroom, or the room 7 there, saw a film doing the Negro history week, or the Black history week, on the life of Martin Luther King. And after they had seen this film there, it was opened up for class discussion. And during the class discussion, there was discussion there, the life of Martin Luther King Jr. There was an idea by one of the children that they would like to change the name of their school to reflect the image of this man. And the classroom thought it was a good idea, and they contacted the other classes there at Stockton School, and the children there also thought it was a good idea. They presented their proposal there to the principal and to the PTA, who also thought it was a good idea. Then they contacted the people in the area in the form of a petition, and they received an impressive number of names in support of this effort, and sent it there to the Board of Education with this request that the name of the school be changed, where the Logan Heights Community Action Council got into the picture there in the person of myself, the executive secretary. I received their some phone calls there from some people outside of the area that was concerned about, they thought that we had some children out there without any direction, without any permission, was out there circulating a petition. And they felt that they were afraid there for the children's safety. And this immediately made me very angry, because I live in that community and I have children to go to that school with. And for someone to assume that our children cannot circulate a petition in our area without fear of being molested or things like this. So I went over to the school and I talked to the principals over there. And after they explained to me the aforementioned things that I said as to the process that the children were going through, and also that it was with the authorization and support of the school's officials, with the school's officials, and also after talking to the teacher and also after talking to the classroom there with the children there, I offered my support there and helping them there achieve their desires. So consequently, there I brought it there to the attention of the Community Action Council meeting Wednesday night, and also the children was there and they presented their point of view and the reasons for it. And I must say that they presented it much better than I'm doing here this morning. Also, Councilman Leon Williams there is a member of our Community Action Council, which we're proud to say, and he attended this meeting. And the council member there, which was attended by over 100 people in the community, concurred, endorsed, and gave their support to this effort, including the Councilman Williams. Actually, what I think is important is that the children there want to not only change the name of their school, but they also want to change the image of their school, a school that they might be proud of participate in, because as you know that the image of Stockton School, because it's in a ghetto area, and the enrollment of the school there, if Dr. Hall, he might correct me, but it's over about 90% there black children in the school. And some people are saying, well, actually Stockton School there do not deserve the name of Martin Luther King, and they should put it on a new school. But I'm saying if they build a new school, it won't be in Stockton School area. It won't reflect the ethnic makeup of this school. Also, the kids, they not only want to change the name, but they want to change the academic level of achievement at that school. They want to change the image, as I said before, and they also want to change the physical conditions of the school or the atmosphere that they work in there. And they feel, and I feel also, by changes the name of Stockton School to Martin Luther King Jr., that it will give us a handle, the community, a handle whereby we can help the children achieve these above-mentioned, these aforementioned things. If talked before, we knew there was a problem over there in Stockton School, and we didn't legally have something that we could grab on, and we're not naive enough to think that just by changing the name that we will change that condition.
And we latch on to some of that.
We want
to finish up everything first.
Number three, I also think that by supporting the children in this effort and also the community of people that's involved in this effort, that we are in some way assuring the children that we do have adults that are sensitive to their wants and their desires, especially when it's a worthwhile venture. And I think this is what we need now, because of the communication gap that we have there, and it's reflected there in our society. There's a difference between the adults and the children. So in conclusion to all this, I just finished saying that, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that this body here today that endorse and support the efforts of the Stockton School children, and also the Community Action Council and the people involved in that community, in their effort there to change the name, and that a letter to this effect there be sent there to the Board of Education for their consideration.
Been moved and seconded that this body approve and send a letter to that body there in support of this effort. I think this calls for a little procedural discussion here.
as to what you are asking for, to endorse the name change or to give support to the group in that, in terms of their efforts, which may be synonymous, I don't know. Further, I'd like the group to think about whether or not this is within our power to so do. It's open for discussion.
Mr. Wyman, I'm just wondering, I came down here to discuss the Urban Coalition with you, and I wonder how we stick to the subject that the group comes down to discuss. And
that's what I think would have to be discussed now. These issues are all...
they're all interrelated, I realize that.
But in terms of the motion, I think we have to discuss that. The group that debates here might not or might agree with you that it is within the realm of taking a motion on. Done?
So, Mr. Chairman, I had requested there to speak there before we got on the subject here of the Urban Coalition. I think it was our agreement here at this forum that things that we feel that are pertinent are important there to a certain area of the community that would be given that first consideration and I also believe that it's still under the subject there of communication, because I am trying to communicate this here to the news media and also to the people that have not received this as of yet.
All right, one question may be procedurally in terms of what McKinnon was saying is whether or not this is an issue that the task force communications can take as a subject here and do something with. So we can look at it now in terms of that kind of discussion. Art?
I was just going to say this is an excellent example of where the Urban Coalition Communications Task Force could cooperate on something with the community and help build a better image all the way around.
I'd like to say if anyone feels that they are not, because perhaps they haven't attended often enough and don't feel to be a part of this body, that in many instances even people who are a part refrain from voting for various reasons. It's not necessary to vote in favor or in opposition to anything that's discussed.
I'd like to say that. So I think that the primary purpose for coming here this morning is to talk about the communication segment of the Urban Coalition. And I would feel disappointed. I know that you have a lot to say and you have very little time to say it, but you realize that you're dealing with the future. And these kids are part of the future, and this is the generation that gap what we I think we term it. And I would feel awful let down since everybody's gone on about this Give a Damn program. And I feel that you really don't give a damn if you don't want to discuss it. So not saying that this is not important and you shouldn't get the Urban Coalition business out of the way, but I think that if you really give a damn, now's the time to prove it.
The Urban Coalition was asked by the Mexican-American community to give support in a similar thing, and that was on the question of the San Diego Gas and Electric Company. And maybe they could give us a report now.
Discussion, the motion here. Are there others who are part of the forum, the dialogue?
Yes, Chairman, I wonder if the motion is directed to the dialogue group or is the motion directed to the communication task force of the Urban Coalition, or is it, one of the two.
Both.
Yeah, both.
All right. Maker of the motion? Both, he says. Now, Jim?
No, you have to go to the
Yeah, the four, we've made motions on issues that we were concerned about and we took action on them. I don't see where this is any different. My only concern is, what would we do? Would we, in the letter form of it, would we send a resolution from the dialogue group to the Board of Education, because the change has to be affected at the Board of Education level. Is this what you're talking about?
This is the motion that it be sent there to the Board of Education.
Just out of curiosity, has anybody gone to the Board of Education?
Yes.
What did they say and what is their...
Well, actually, now it has been
sent there to have a committee that looks over the request there for changing the names, and they will make a recommendation. What I'm trying to get out there is that to let this committee or the Board of Education know that we feel very strongly about this, and possibly maybe using the word pressure and the pressure to comply with our request.
Mr. Chairman, I offer a substitute motion that the chair be empowered to appoint a committee from the dialogue group to formulate a letter of concern from the dialogue group to the Board of Education.
As opposed to what he said, or that's the method by which you want to carry
method
it?
By which is all through for the whole, yeah.
You want that? That would seem to be the method I'm trying to suggest, Jim, as opposed to a substitute motion.
Well, the only way you can get the method is through a motion if you want to.
We're getting
all right. The substitute motion.
I second
the substitute motion. Would you state that again, please, Jim?
That the chair be empowered to select a committee from the dialogue group to formulate a letter of concern to the Board of Education concerning the renaming of Stockton School to the Martin Luther King Junior Elementary School.
Before the group agrees that they should do that.
I think that would be a second motion.
Yeah, it seems to indicate that we have already agreed that we should do that, and I thought the motion was intended to get our commitment to do that.
Yeah, I agree. That would be a second motion.
I thought you heard everybody that was against it. I was the last one. I didn't see the other hand.
Well, we have to vote on the substitute motion first. And we have to do it that way.
The substitute motion is predicated on the original motion.
Yeah, correct. We got a second, did we, to the substitute motion? If I could ask the seconders to withdraw theirs and then the motion, then pass the other one first, it eliminate a lot of procedural stuff we're about to get into.
What do you got? Procedure is parliamentary. You carry the substitute, then you come back to the original motion. This is the parliamentary procedure.
Well, we're still that way. I'm trying to suggest that it's inherent in the motion.
Exactly.
All right. All those in favor of the substitute motion that the chair be empowered to appoint a committee to formulate such a letter, all say aye.
Aye.
All opposes? All now to the original motion in favor of the commitment to do that.
Aye.
Say aye. Opposes? Both are carried. I might then appoint, get it out of the way. Don, of course. Yes. What about some volunteers this time to work with Don? We've got three here. Four.
Name them, Mr. Raymond.
Yes.
Eleanor Rowe.
Dave Newton. Can I go back there, Chuck? Chuck Adams. Any other? Leon Connors?
No, Glenn.
Glenn. C-O-R-N-I-S. Glenn. No.
He works with the committee.
Any others to work with that committee? You got those? Dave Newton, Eleanor, Don, Chuck. Don, would you please get together with your committee like yesterday? Give the office a call if you need any help, official, you know, signature and all that. Follow the rules. We're back now to the committee. The task force.
Mr. Chairman, you wrote down a note about the communication dealing with the Lowland Heights Conduct Enterprises about Monday the 3rd. We'll have two grand sessions of opening. On the 10th, the governor of the state, Mr. Ronald Reagan, will be down to give his official, whatever it's he will say, plus present a plaque. And this is also for this particular enterprise.
A week from the 3rd.
Yes,
all right. What time is that, Jim?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock on the 10th. And on Monday the 3rd, it's from 9 to 12.
Exactly.
Am I correct?
Yes.
All right, we're back to the task force. So let's get it back in perspective now. You've heard from the task force. They, all of them, especially Mr. Scott, have indicated areas that they're concerned with and what they're trying to do. One question has been raised with regard to the task force an issue last week. Let's see if we can get this, 2 weeks ago, or a month ago. Let's see if we can get this back in focus now. We've heard a report, that's first. We can put the heading here as issues then that they should be concerned with from the viewpoint of the citizens here, of the other people here, all the citizens obviously. So let's keep it then in the context of reacting to what this said on an issue basis and giving them issues in terms of your feelings or perception and what you think they ought to be doing, or some of the things that they are not doing as well as you think they should be. React to those issues involved and other issues that you know about over the years, because again, we've been sitting here griping about the media for a long time. Let them know how you feel.
Last Monday, when the San Diego Gas and Electric Company apologized to the Mexican-American community for that ad. You've heard it on the radio and TV. Every morning I call the San Diego Union City editor and I say, would you please tell me where I can find the news about this? And he said, well, there is not in today. It will be in tomorrow. In the Sterling Woods. I called the next day and I said, would you help me find it? Because I've gone to the paper and it's the same story. I know the task force of the coalition got in, and I would like to know just exactly what the reaction was and what the paper is intending to do.
I'm the one to speak. And I don't know, but I believe your case is legitimate, and I'll find out.
Can you tell the louder general? I'm not. Did you hear him back there? Could everyone hear?
No.
Would you make
my answer is that I don't know, but I believe his case is legitimate. He deserves to know, and I'll find out.
Well,
go ahead, sir. Did you actually prepare a news release?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Because even if he hadn't.
And people, newspapermen dig it up. Mm-hmm. And when something as important as this and is reported on the radio, they could have gotten that from the radio.
Well, the general also made a comment, I'm not sure that's got out. He said it really didn't matter. He says it's still legitimate.
Absolutely.
It's whether or not
you deserve an answer, and I'll get you one. I want to know your telephone number.
But the point should be made that, just to keep the record straight, that the Tribune ran story. He said the union.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
You're out of order. The Tribune did run a story because we watched, but the union, so that's the point.
Yeah. I understood his question. Yeah, but the San Diego Union, not the Tribune.
The Tribune, including my friend here. They did run it, but the other paper didn't. Did you get his?
No, but I'll let it open. You'll hear from me.
Still open for discussion. Yes.
Because as many of you know, I get off the track very easily. This is all I have to say.
That's one page today?
Yeah, and it's in shorthand either. I did want to take this opportunity to direct two things that Mr. Scott says, because I have been concerned about these two things for some time, among other things. Because I was concerned about the women on the lack of women on the board of the directors of the Urban Coalition, about 2 or 3 months ago, I called Mr. Smith. I forget his title, but he's a staff member.
Right there, against the wall.
Voiced my concern to Mr. Smith about this and asked him to pass on to the appropriate person my suggestion, recommendation, and I couldn't think of her name right off, Grace Ridoff, who has the after local office of the FEPC. Incidentally, after hearing Mr. Scott's list of the credentials for the membership on this board, I'm even more convinced that she is as well qualified as any of the members on the board, and I have a list that I've gone over them, and I have identified the ones I didn't know. I asked people who did know who they were, and I think she's better qualified than quite a few.
Excuse me now, are you talking to...
The board of directors
of
the...
not his tax board.
No, the board of directors,
right,
which he said has no members.
Right.
This concerned me ever since I got the copy from Mr. Smith.
Eleanor, Grace isn't old enough.
What?
Grace isn't old enough.
Well, it's a matter of debate. I'm 53 and I think I'm old enough. In connection with the method that Mr. Scott emphasizes used to select members of the task force, now this is to the task force.
All right.
I'm wondering why, when I spoke to him, Mr. Scott, immediately after the meeting closed 4 weeks ago, which he appeared at, and I'm glad that he was able to get the rest of his prepared remarks out, I did what I do on rare occasions. I offered to serve on a committee, in this instance, the Communications Task Force. And when I offered, he told me to speak about this to his executive secretary of his task force, Mr. Neal, who I've known for many years. He doesn't know me, but I know him from when he was executive director of San Diego County Council of Churches.
He knows you so well, he recommended against.
I did. I did speak to Mr. Neal, and to my dismay, the first question he asked me, are you a professional? Because he said, let me tell you how this committee is made up, and he enlightened me considerably, but I was quite dismayed that he said, because only professionals are on this committee. Their prime job is to relay from all committees. Nothing goes out through Urban Coalition to the press or the media, except through our task force. And I did not know that this was the purpose. I think there should be another task force to do the kind of thing, perhaps, that is communicating people to people. But this is... So I said, no, I'm not a professional. Art Kent, and when I related this to him later, said, well, you are as professional as many. And I really, on a reflection, I remember that I worked for 6 months in 1945, the first 6 months for John Stitz's Register Pajaronian in Watsonville in the business office in charge of the newspaper boys and carrier service. And I worked the next 6 months for the Monterey radio station as commercial manager. So
well, let me kind of see if I can help you out a little bit. Let me help you out. Her name is on the agenda of our next meeting to recommend to the task force.
Wait after the
proper questions, because we would have nailed him and asked him. So he asked the question, and we have the recommendation that goes, as I explained, we cannot appoint. Our task force can only recommend, and it's on the agenda for our task force next meeting to recommend.
So
I'll
be the exception to the rule, is that right?
No, he said you're on the list to be recommended.
No, but he said, Mr. Neal told me, only professional serves. So I dropped it at that point because I'm not a professional.
Well, Mr. Neal told you something, and I told Mr. Neal. So now you're on the agenda to be nominated.
What she did.
Whether the man will vote for you or not, I don't know, and I don't want to guarantee it. That Dr. Neal told her.
Dr. Neal told her, I said it's made up of professionals. But you talked to Mr. Scott, who is the chairman.
Said,
you didn't tell me
letter.
That.
And I said, why should I write a letter when it's futile in the first place?
Well, I didn't know.
In the first place, because I'm not a professional.
The argument
is. Okay, that's my point.
Yeah.
I wanted to make
it. It would seem to me that it's been settled. Regardless of the definitions of a professional bid, or what have you, he said that you would be recommended. Now, I don't see that
about our task force.
Now, your other point Your other point should be directed to Mr. Ken Smith over there.
I meant to read the little sign.
But wait a minute, please. Hold a minute, please.
Please.
I understand. Mr. Smith, would you react, please, to that?
Yeah, I did pass your name along, but since that time...
Not my name, Mr.
Well, the name that was given to me. This was back in December, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's too much.
The board hasn't been expanded since that time, with one exception at the last meeting. There is a young lady on the board now.
You're doing your job, that's all right.
She was voted on as a member of the board the last time. But I can mark that off my list of complaints.
The question would be whether or not, at a future meeting, as with the task force, Mrs. Ridoff, with the lady's name, would be one of those recommended. Is this what you're saying? Yes, it will be.
Well, I can pass this along to the executive committee.
Yes, she wants to know, will you, or are you going to pass it along?
Yes, I will.
All right. Other issues? Rosemary?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. John.
Shoot.
Sorry, Rosemary. John has been back there for a little while calling my name.
It's 10:45, and I've heard damn little discussion of
right tonight. That's what it's open for. John, you have a question on that?
No, but it's been open since 9:30.
Okay.
Minority in the news media, Carol. I was just thinking that this whole problem of the news media, perhaps if you could button it down to one very cogent concern, it's that through our news media, whether it's radio, television, or newspaper, with perhaps the exception of Channel 15, Peter is gone. You have no way of placing into perspective anything that happened. This, I think, is a major concern. It should be a major commitment of news media as communication forces to be able to establish through an ongoing commitment this information that will give the majority and minority and the entire community a frame of reference in which to place the events as they happen, the current news, the current crises, the current problems. I do not see this in any of our news media. I think that through the communications task force, although I'm in favor of programs like Give a Damn and all these things, the thing that really, I think, causes concern is what influence they could utilize with the news media, since they are professionals, and since they are working with professionals and have the news media contained on their staff. What can they do through commitment and something to have an ongoing program? So when something like this request from Don comes up about the changing of the name of the school, if you were to go to La Jolla or to Claremont and ask those people if they have any idea why the necessity for even changing the name of a school exists, they would have some frame of reference from which to interpret this request. Because if you just simply put this request in the newspaper, it looks like another thing those people want and no way of evaluating it. I'm saying this is the thing that I think is extremely important. In our, as another concrete thing, the San Diego Union and Tribune with their vast coverage, I know that a release we have sent around in zeroing in on this problem of identity, including minorities, the background, the where am I, and the pride and all this. The Christian Science Monitor is doing a 16-week series on the black man in history from Africa to now, done by a black professor and evidently a beautifully put together professional series of articles. If something like this were done locally, it would give such an input to our community that isn't coming about any other way. If we can't develop our own series, if it could be reprinted or reproduced, these are the kind of ideas that I think get out to the whole community, and I wonder what can be done through the news media and with the help of the Urban Coalition Communication Task Force to help now get this commitment where we can establish the angle record for what is happening.
Sure. Now, I've been listening to a lot of this comment. One thing I have to say is like this. We have a lot of problems extending to preparation of news releases for news media. A lot of times, you know, I'm listed in the telephone book, in other words, as XCG of Negro Radio. I put that in there for one definite reason, so that if anybody in the community has basic information they want to pass through to the people who we serve in our programming, but could send it in. And I offer free public service time at any time to anyone who wants to relay a message. Now, I have never seen this gentleman walk through my door at all. I've never, he's never asked me at all to call me up on the phone and say he has a problem. See, here's the thing about it. Majority of people, you know, they get up and they make these statements, they want to do these things, but have they first approach the media who's directly reaching that people. I mean, the people they're trying to get. That's what I'm speaking of. I tried to increase my scope in this area, even trying to seek people who'll be interested in doing news or carrying on this thing, but we find nobody and no one's interested in doing this type of thing. So, like, I'm off on a, you know, it makes me really disheartened because I figure my service is going by the wayside, which I'd rather play some more news than play music, you know. And in fact, I even went to try to put on a television program so that we could bring out some of the good things that are happening in the community. In fact, it was turned down by all the television stations. I had to go buy it, buy a program. You see, this is the situation we're under, you see. A bad problem, first of all. Something else, which in 1964, I carried a problem all the way to Washington because of discrimination in hiring practice in radio and the communication media. Because, you know, like an FCC came up with a little thing saying that all radio stations and television stations should carry all, black news. In other words, as part of their promise to the commission. And a lot of stations are not doing it. We can't get it on there because, I don't know, it's a roundabout thing of a lot of different things which I've been faced with. I had to suffer in setting my radio station up 4 years. You got another problem sitting where the advertising agencies don't want to support anything black, in other words, and this is a problem. You see?
You laid out several of them there.
I'm laying out a lot of things, in other words, which... I figure, like, let's get down to the meat of it. You know, there's a lot of things in the earth which we should be discussing because the role of advertising agency in buying programs and areas that support a station that is leaning in that direction. Not only that, preparation of news releases from different organizations that should be preparing it the right way.
Another channel of communication can be, as you know, we have a federation, the Mexican American Black Wednesday, we named it the Chicano Federation of San Diego, that is our name. And we are trying to establish a permanent communication. We have we are starting a temporary communication in case anybody is interested. Pete Chacon can be contacted at Sherman Elementary, or I can be called. About this communication that we are setting up, so that at least this will be on a temporary basis until we're able to, in the future, near future, set up something that is more permanent and more efficient.
All right, let's see if we can keep and focus on the issues for a few minutes.
I just hate to see what Rosemary brother die here before it. Just get lost before it really sinks in. It strikes me that this issue of the
changing of the name of the school is something that the Urban Coalition Task Force could exert some of its influence on to get the story covered in the first place, and then also to see that it's covered right, because you have people at this table, in that group and in this group, that can help affect decisions to cover and also can decide to cover. We have owners and managers, people who can affect news covers. But also, this is a perfect example of the kind of story that might easily be ignored in the editors going over the minutes of the school board. What seems to me could happen is that this is one of those things that the Urban Coalition Communications Task Force could exert some influence on. If you're looking for a handle to work with, it sounds like a good story.
Tom?
Yeah, well, I share this view that Rosemary's point shouldn't be lost. And if I'm reading it correctly, what she's really saying, check me if I'm wrong. But the news media have a responsibility to give the public a context in which to place news about the minority community. Does it have a responsibility to do that? The quick example that comes to my mind is current campus unrest as it relates to black student unions and black student councils. I've heard two or three telecasts. Carol Keene isn't here. Speaking of the lack of this kind of thing on the campus at San Diego State as an example, but the news is presented in a context of showing how far-sighted San Diego State is. And the emphasis is placed there as opposed to the constructiveness of the Black Student Council and the legitimacy of the demand for these kinds of things, and giving the readership or the listenership a context in which to place the legitimacy of the demand and the types of things that cause the unrest on campuses. Instead of doing that, it places the college itself in a light of being a far-sighted, enlightened thing, and tends to play down the Black Student Council itself, and it's still the Black Student Council is still in a negative light, and still bracketed with those that the majority community views in a negative light. But nothing is done to give the majority community a context in which to receive the legitimacy of those demands and why they're being made and why they should be made. And why it certainly is, there is a question as to whether or not the college itself is far-sighted, because if it's legitimate and if it should be done, the proper question to be raised is why it had to wait for a demand from the Black Student Council and why it wasn't done many years ago. Yeah. This is what I'm talking about. I think Rosemary is talking about too, is the question of whether or not the news media has a responsibility to give the public a context in which to receive the news. And the real question here is why this thing wasn't done 20, 30, 40 years ago, instead of waiting for a demand from a Black Student Council, and then after it gets it and does some minimal thing about it, then give the college credit for being a great big altruistic thing. This is what I'm talking about as far as news media is concerned.
John?
I'm done operating subject to. I think that's a good point to continue on, and the thing that matters is not necessarily feeding in individual stories and putting pressure on the media to get those individual stories covered, although that can be a function, but I think it's rather one of changing attitudes and changing human beings, and I think a subject for discussion could be some training like that, which is on the agenda this morning. Some kind of sensitivity training for people in news. The same kind of sensitivity training in an informal manner that many people in this room have gone through at this dialogue, at Design for Understandings and other discussions that have brought them to a better level of awareness. The news media and people in the media seem reluctant to do this.
So one of the other crucial issues is what is implied in that number two on the agenda item, the need for such training. Let's stick with this other though for a moment and get around to those who had their hands up. Jose, then Shoup, and Jim.
Well, going along with both Tom and Rosemary, what you were saying, I've been to a few meetings where what Tom was talking about, in other words, putting a, I think we're in an era where you have to put things in context, because if you report minority news just as straight news, the majority community gets a wrong impression. It just gets a wrong impression. I've been to several meetings where where Chicanos have been involved, and they have asked the news media there to leave, because they know that if they are straightly reported, the majority community will interpret this news to be derogatory and will and put the whole meeting and so forth in a derogatory light if they just report it as straight news without any kind of preparation, like Tom says.
Will interpret the news as the news media has educated the majority community to interpret it
right
in the first place.
So that if you're going to go into the minority communities, many times, even now, they will not welcome you. It seems to be a kind of a paradox. We need more news coverage, but we need coverage that is, like Tom says, has a little background so that it may be interpreted correctly. And it isn't just straight news. It's kind of an educational service. I think this is necessary until we educate the majority community to interpret things as the minorities view them, and not just as they have been accustomed to in the past.
All right, sticking with that.
I'd like to address myself about three things, Carolyn.
Not too long.
Okay. First, it seems to me that what Rosemary said and Chuck Johnson said kind of divide themselves. We need to get this frame of reference in the majority community. I think that's what Rosemary was saying. I think what Chuck Johnson was saying is we also need, and this is something the Urban Coalition could do, to support the minority broadcaster, newspaperman, whatever, in getting his message to his community. Then the other thing, this business about judgment, General Krulak a couple of weeks ago spoke about judgment and decency, and this again ties in with what John is saying, is developing a frame of reference. Your judgment is going to be different if you have different facts. And then getting to the specific about the BSC out here at State College, it does happen to be my job in the activities office to work as closely as I can with this BSC and my and these people. And people have asked me, you know, they say, well, how come things are the way they are out there at State? And I have made the point, but no one asked me in this particular situation. That's one reason that we have the situation we have out there, is not only because we've got responsible leadership in BSC and Maya out there, but we have responsible leadership in the community here. And I don't mean to be passing out kudos, but that's a fact. I mean, in the black and brown community here in San Diego, we're really blessed with this kind of thing. Now, another little bit of background. They've had a lot of problems, you know, on a lot of campuses. And some people object to certain groups such as SDS. And in some campuses, SDS has tried to do certain things and to get the black, the BSC, and Maya to work with them. And again, in some instances, I happen to think some things they wanted to do were irresponsible. And BSC has refused to go along with it. Or BSU, as it might be on the various campuses. But these aren't known. These aren't told. Again, you have to search out this kind of news, and it's, again, they're all categorized as one type of irresponsible people trying to uproot things and throw things over. And if you'd simply search out the news and read it, you'd find this is just simply not true, that they're responsible people. They're working for good
I think, and again, this is my frame of reference, what I would see is good, solid, substantial goals. And but it, again, it isn't reported. It isn't passed down.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, to be more current to what we're talking about, just yesterday, the presentation that I made to the city council, the news media took it completely out of context and said that Oxley made a threat to the city that they were going to bomb a Tap restaurant. The UP, they had on the UP wildline, and one of the newsmen that knew me called me, and also Hal Keen. He tried to give them what we were talking about in his commentary last night. Well, this is another example of what we're talking about. The news and media will hold all blacks, will label all blacks as irresponsible people whenever they make a presentation. Now, the whites have been saying for the past two or three years from this table, the past year, 2 years from this table, what can we do to help? We went through the proper procedure that we thought, we took the proper procedure, that we would go to the council. The council had not made an endorsement, the city government had said nothing about the employment situation in the hotel motel industry, which we are talking about now. When we make a presentation, then they take it out of its context and said that we'll promote violence. Same token, on the same newscast, they had men walking on the picket line, American Airlines at the airport, and it was a creative imagination of what they were going to do about the problem that existed. And this is what I said. And this is what we're talking about now. Some kind of way, I don't know how we can go about doing it, but somewhere we are going to have to get the people who speak to the majority community to understand that every minority that rises up and asks for his just dues, we're talking about integration. The man got to say, well, we need to integrate. Well, how are you going to integrate when nobody is making a proper presentation that concerns what the white man, integration is not a black man's term, it's a white man's term. And then whenever you try to help him with his term, then he will label you as another term that he created, militant. As a militant, and the connotation that he's given to the white community is that a militant is somebody that burns and bombs things and tears things. There's nothing constructive about a man when he rises up and tells you, you've been standing on my foot for 4 years, get off. And they say, well, now he's going to be a militant, and he's going to tear something. This is what we're talking about now. How can we get these people that present this news to this majority community to make them understand that the blacks and the browns are not talking about violence? You see, there's no more, there's not a group in America, not an ethnic group in America with any more compassion and forgiveness than the blacks and the browns. We've had everything done to us, and nobody has been concerned about doing anything about it. We have one or two every now and then when that person rises up and tries to carry the black cause, then they call him a white folks nigger, a nigger lover, and cast him aside, and he becomes a part of the minority. Now, this is what the news media will have to straighten out. Now, how are they going to straighten it out? I don't know how they're going to straighten it, because they've made a mess out of it all the way around. And I refer again to yesterday. Just yesterday, they blew this little presentation. All I asked the council for was to see if there was some type of ordinance that they could pass that would be in compliance with the Civil Service Act of 1954, Title VII, which says that one-fourth, or at least one-fourth of the employees of the concern should be of minority extraction, and if they did have them in the hotel, I was tired of seeing them in the kitchen and in the basement. I want them in public contact positions. They say, well, now what can we do? Well, the news can say something about it. The people that we contact say, well, we have no one qualified. What do you mean qualified? A moron can pass a man a car when he comes to the desk and have him sign it and give him a key to go to a room. We need a training for that. And this is what the news media should take on.
He saw several hands. I've forgotten the order. But General was about to say something. Sherwood was about to say something. And I think Sherwood was first. That's just my way of confusing you. Sherwood.
Well, that turns me on. I was turned on pretty good this morning. It made me believe that anything is possible because
optimism.
That's right. You have to be in order to bring about a resolution of these urgent problems. But I found out this morning, the week after next, I have an audience with the Pope.
They're here.
So if a nice Jewish boy like me can have an audience with the Pope, anything is possible.
Right.
Right.
I don't know.
Let me just make several remarks, throw it out for discussion, and then I'd like to make maybe a revolutionary kind of a suggestion.
Make that one first.
In the dealing with news and comment and so on in all of the media, it starts with the ownership. What his charge and what his responsibility and what his vision is of his mission. What his commitment to man is, with a capital M. And how he may view that to him it may be just a business. To a journeyman working at a radio, television, or newspaper, it may be just a job or a way to vent some ideas. And to an advertiser, it may be a way to reach the community to sell services and goods. But the final analysis to the people of America, or to any country, the media is the only way that they have for the regulation of self-government. In that context, the ownership of a radio, television, or a newspaper must start with its basic commitment, and he has to surround himself with people who have a background and who commit themselves to his view of what he wants to do with this all-important charge. And regardless of what his political bias may be, and it's his perfect right to have a bias on an editorial page, in the editorial column, if he starts with a basic assumption that he's not omnipotent, the rest of his editorial content, aside from the columns, and this applies to radio and television also, can recognize the fact that there are other sides to the coin, and there has to be balance, that nobody can be right any more than I have never found the absolute truth. The news has to be in balance, and it has to be factual. This goes for all media. The editorial content can be subjective, but the news portion has to be objective. Now, in order for us to make strides in this community, and we are fortunate that we have time here, we have had time, because of the low percentage of blacks and browns in this community as versus other urban societies like Los Angeles and New York, Philadelphia and so on, where we have slightly over 7% in the minority community, which is probably why more people have dreamed about stomping on the toes. We've been fortunate with time. Why don't we try something revolutionary? Why don't we summon everybody who is charged ultimately with that responsibility, with whatever influence we can muster, whatever clubs we can use, whatever, to get everybody who ultimately is the guy who looks at the bottom line of his balance sheet every month and his P&L statement, to also have a balance sheet in this thing called man, by getting everybody who holds an FCC license here, whether he lives in the state of Illinois or is headquartered in New York, as is the case with 8 and 10, everybody who holds a radio license, and everybody who is the publisher dash owner of a newspaper, to come to some kind of a forum. And I would urgently suggest that it be very, very much thought out before we subject these people. It may be the first time they've ever been exposed to this kind of an idea, if it is that revolutionary, and I think it is. So not to be battered from pillar to pillar, or to use it as an occasion to take out all the kinds of venom that may have been built up by those who have been gored in one way or another by, or as they think they have been gored. And if we can do that, I think that some real milestones, some real new horizons will have been grabbed at, because It's so easy to isolate oneself from reality and into fantasy if you live in an isolated world. Time life is a huge complex running 20 some radio, television, FM stations, as well as a magazine complex. And this is not negative. These are facts. People who live elsewhere other than San Diego are running Channel 8. They run several television stations and radio stations. They're not part of this community. They hold a license to do a tremendous amount of good or a tremendous amount of harm. And ours is the power to build or destroy. And while we want to be positive and build, there are also some things in society which have to be destroyed. We hold that power, and it's a tremendous charge. And I'm not willing to let that charge be passed on to a journeyman. Try to put the guidelines for the fellow who is working the beat of the news, unless really you have started with your own commitment as to what kind of a society you want, well, let's say San Diego, and how you view your very important role in shaping that society that you want. And then you have to go out and maybe fire a hell of a lot of people and hire a hell of a lot of new people who have a commitment to really understand the full picture of what we're involved in. And I don't want to talk anymore, but somehow I'd like some feelings of expression from all of us as to how we think we can go about and perhaps get everybody who has that ultimate responsibility in what kind of a climate and what kind of an atmosphere can we meet together to really have it told like it is, and have these kind of people respond in kind as to what their commitment is for change.
As you react, I think this, Mr. Channon, this is the heart of the matter. Now, to get this dream into its concrete form, we're going to have to get some new people at the head of these various news medias, because these people have been orientated and they've inherited an orientation that is white in its concept and its complete orientation and perpetuation for 400 years. And they have interpreted the role of the blacks and the browns as the same role, and in some instances not as good as they, not only equal of a little chimpanzee puppy, because he can go into places where and be accepted and be treated a lot better than I can as a black man. My role is a tool, a machine, an instrument to make the power structure tick and keep in motion. Now, until this is broken down in mass form, it's not an indictment. The white racism didn't include every white man in America. but it includes the majority of them. Now, until this thing is broken down in the minds of the people, it's hard to change a man after you pass 50 years old. And most of them that you have at the head of all of these news media, they're past 50 years old. They have good intentions, but they only exist around the conference table. When they go back to their respective offices, there is something about the power structure. See, there are people over them that direct them, and they have to work in conformity with the power structure. Now, it'll be a whole lot of fine and hard, a whole lot of it. And it will start with the changing of the ownership of the papers, Edison on down. Because this is where it is, at the top, not at the bottom, it's at the top. And you can't break through the top unless you have, as what you were talking about, a complete revolution. Fidel Castro tried it in Cuba. And he didn't do anything until he overthrew and drove Batista out of Cuba. Now, his motive was a little different from the black man's motive. We have no motive like Fidel Castro had. But this is where the news media puts it out, that we want to dominate, take over.
All right, hold up that, Jim. Gentlemen, we didn't get to it.
You know, in a situation of this sort, you find so much with which you are obliged to agree. And at the same time, so much with which you cannot wholly agree, that it's very difficult to distill a reaction into a single thrust. I would just burden your time to make two general observations. First, I believe that there is an ill in over-indictment, and I believe that you are guilty of that ill when you blanket all of the news media with a determination to be duplicitous. Now, I'm really not a professional newspaper man, as you know. I'm just a retired Marine. But my association with one small fraction of the news media makes it plain to me that you have overstated.
Then I'm not talking to you. You're not the man that owns the paper. Somebody over you.
Quite so, but you spoke...
That directs you.
You spoke in terms of they. And I would assure you that my exposure to all of the news media and to the newspapers in particular, while disclosing many frailties, do not qualify them to be indicted as a general proposition as determined to do ill. And that's all I want to say on that. I believe you've overstated it, despite the fact that there's virtue in your condemnation.
And I think you read into something, you read something that I didn't say. See, this is what the news media does all the time. You see, I never said that there were no good things that they did. I'm saying some of the bad things they're doing, and they far exceed the good thing that they're doing as far as bringing about a harmonious relationship between the blacks and the whites. You see, this is what happens in all of the editorials. And it's a natural thing that happens. Because you're part of the power structure. I understand what you're saying. You're part of the power structure.
Follow that, Jim, so he can get his out.
I would simply say I believe you've overstated, and I haven't heard anything to cause me to change my mind. My next point is that there's sits back there, made a very cogent observation that we're seeking gradually to alter a state of mind. And this is a state of mind on the part of everyone who picks up a newspaper or who flips on the dial. Having said this, there is implicit in it another observation. It takes mass and combined determination, and it takes time. We don't have much time. I'm impatient. I would like to be called a militant. But it does take time.
We shall label you now the Militant General.
Very well.
Very well. Aren't all generals militant?
It's achieved incrementally, not with any dramatic wand waving. It's achieved by incremental effort and sincere effort at that. This communication task force is, in my judgment, a fine matrix for establishing this incremental effort. I've written down several things which I am going to do when I leave here, just as a result of my having been present, despite the fact that I think I would agree with all others here, we haven't accomplished a great deal. I've accomplished something. I've written down about the Stockton School and its name change being presented in a complete context. Now, I don't know that I can accomplish this. I made a speech up in Oceanside yesterday that I thought was a barn burner, and it wasn't even reported on this morning's newspaper.
Which newspaper didn't report it?
But I can try. Second, Mr. Jacko brought to my attention that one of the two newspapers had failed to do what I would regard as a logical thing, which is to report the news, and the news related to the apology to the Mexican-American community, not in the San Diego Union. Well, I can find out why, and I can call you up, and I can tell you what's going to happen. I can do that.
They must think we can, too.
Yeah.
Well, I can substantively.
Okay.
Then there's the matter of the Christian Science Monitor and its 16-week series. That grabbed me right down by the belt buckle. I propose you do something about this. I want to get it and read it. I think it would be a great idea that something of that nature appeared here. Then there's the matter of the Black Student Council, not just at San Diego State, but at Cal Western also. And I haven't read anything in the newspapers about their performance. I think we ought to read it. And then there was the last point which you made regarding a misrepresentation of proceedings before the council on hotel-motel employment. Well, I've made hay here this morning, but this is a very small thing, ladies and gentlemen, in establishing a major change in attitude. It requires individual, hard work, pick-and-shovel effort to get it done. Thank you.
Anderson
thank
you. Just hit me that he has to go, and he wanted to make one other input. And then, Pete, I didn't recognize you earlier, and I see five other hands up now. So, Anderson?
Yeah, okay. I have to go, and I hate to go, but...
Why do you have to go?
Duty call. I'd like to say one thing. I really don't think that we have accomplished very much here this morning, because... From what I can gather, everything that's being said now has been said, because I said it 2 weeks ago. I think that good meal with his brother there, and I almost got closed the other day over in that corner. And we just about hashed out what's being hashed out now. So I'd like to say this before I leave. I know that the coalition has a job to do, and I know that the newspapers have a job to do. Every one of us here have a respective job to do. But I think we can get together better than what we are doing now, because it seems that everyone is opposing everyone else. I know that the news media made a commitment to do thus and so, and since 2 weeks ago, I don't see any improvement. So I'm hoping that the coalition can speak to the media. Maybe they can do it better than we can. Maybe we're approaching them wrong. I doubt it, because they can't say any more than I can. But I'm hoping that maybe these two, as an entity themselves, can do more than what we have decided to discuss or bring up, because I don't see any new ideas of input in this particular meeting this morning. I don't see that anything new has been brought up or anything new has been accomplished. So I'm saying this as a point of view of a person that's just on looking, not as a person that's in the dialogue itself, because I can see things that maybe people here in the dialogue themselves that are really active and actively participating in the dialogue, that are supposed to be responsible people that are in the position to make change, that have not been able to make the change that they promised they could make. So in the future, I'm going to try to just sideline a bit and try to
to pick out these people that have made these specific commitments that they don't follow through on. And before I go, I just like to say that I hope the coalition does give a damn, because I do, and I'm going to keep my eye on them. And I hope that the paid staff that they have will do the job and keep the money and use it as they see fit, but use it in the best interest of the minority and the people that you claim you want to serve.
Anderson, what, just as a concrete, don't mind your odd words, there was a suggestion made. Sherwood made a suggestion.
I know.
What
I
do you
wanted
think
to
of that? Mr. Gordon, his suggestion about the media getting together the top level people and having some kind of an ongoing or a forum, a workshop or something, where this thing on their level can be brought to their attention in a more meaningful manner. Now, as a media person, how do you feel about that? Because that hadn't been brought before. Right?
Well, it has, to a degree it has. I think it's a good idea. I suggested this 3 weeks ago when the committee met, the communications committee met. We discussed this, and when Tom was in charge of that committee, we discussed this, and everyone agreed that it was a good idea, and we were going to try to get with all the people that have the big concerns, the newspapers, all the advertising agencies, people that have big influence in the community. This is not a new idea, but I think he has added a little elegance to it. Now, there's one other thing that I'd like to put to the good brother here. He made a commitment to us before he left the last dialogue meeting. He said that he's going to look into the possibility of having some funds available to give to black colleges and to help to get some black students interested in journalism. Now, I don't know what kind of progress he's made since that time, but I have to leave, and I hope that people relate it.
I have a meeting at 11:30 with the guy that will help me select, finally, one out of four colleges.
So, next,
I'm not going to tell you, because it would offend the others.
So by next dialogue meeting, we should have some kind of a concrete answer.
I'll make it. It's just, I'm only 5 minutes away. Yes, we've made it. It took a good bit of research. It's just amazing how few of the black colleges teach journalism at all.
Oh, we could have given you that off the top of our head.
And this was a shocker to me. And furthermore, those that do are rapidly becoming unblack, like Howard.
Yeah, we could have given you that off the top of our head.
Well, I had to learn it the hard way. Right. Well, that's where I'm headed at 11:30.
I see some other hands, but I was going to recognize Pete, so I must, and then get back to Chuck and the other hands around. But I must recognize Pete.
I think Mr. Gordon's idea is very good.
Hold it, hold it, hold it.
Couldn't you stay for a few more minutes?
I'm having a meeting.
You got a meeting too, Jim?
Yes.
Remember, I told you I had to leave. I'm sorry, I'm a witness at the trial this afternoon. I got to be brief on what to say before I go there. I think that you make a mistake when you don't dock things, you don't pass over to us to do it, and then cause the cash for not producing on it. This constant rehashing of all these things, I get like this, you know, we're anxious to do things. If we're missing the boat, as I said, we've been in business for less than a year. Maybe we are 400 years behind, and I'm over 50.
Oh, you
take on
Monday anytime on
any matter, too. I even take on his pulpit. But,
you're asking them.
Yeah, why don't you adopt some things you send over to our community? Now, you constantly use them. We get a little mixed up, too, you know. You're doing this, and we're trying to do it, and we go to work on it, and we say, well, the CIC was here with it. Now, either call on us to produce or quit. We just pass these things to us to do. I try to tell you in my remarks here, and this is not defensive, we've got the papers to stop saying every time there was an accident, it was a Negro that was driving the car or a Mexican that was driving the car. We've got the
pictures of colored people and black people and brown people on the society page. We've done a few things. They are mighty small, and they're unimportant, but we've been working at a few. This is not defensive, but of course, the people who want to take it that way will. You have to be careful you don't drive some of us into the third minority. So pass some things here that you feel that we've been lax on and send them down to us. Tell us, call us to task. Say, get us some action on these things, and we'll come back to you and report. But, crowd, we just can't sit through these same things all the time. We came here with open mind and open heart. We're really trying. With all of our failures, we're trying. So give us some challenges, real ones. Challenges. When we passed a resolution to condemn the Union Tribune, I thought we did real good. I thought we did real good. Now you give us some things to do. We told you some of the things we're trying to do ourselves in our own little way. Now you pass some of these things, but don't both of us work at it. You keep the finger on us, though.
He's saying that let's put the screws on his committee and let them know what we want them to do. And I think that's a straight request. So I have to recognize Pete.
As an example of what could be done and what the media could put in proper perspective is a problem that is threatening all the families in San Diego presently, and that is de facto segregation. We are being asked to approve $91 million that is going to increase de facto segregation. There hasn't been anything in the paper, in spite of the inches and inches and inches that appear daily on the paper, about the bonds, only stating that there are going to be buildings that are, but they never say that they're going to increase the fact of segregation, that the school is not putting any money to correct the compensatory education, which was proven to be completely a failure even by the school department. And all these things, there isn't anything that you can see in the papers where they have researched, where they have evaluated, or given any other point.
And about the bond issue.
As far as the bond issue, yes. Now, last Wednesday, the Mexican-American organizations, which call themselves now the Chicano Federation of San Diego County, voted, and there were 40 organizations, and there were over 400 people there. There were parents and youth and church and all kinds of leaders of the Mexican-American community, and they decided to vote no on this bond election because they have reached an impasse. They have approved the bonds year after year, always with hoping that things would change. The board said that's a different problem. And when the board says that, the press accepts that as a valid reason, then something is wrong. And the only people that can reach the whole community, and this problem affects not only the minorities, but it affects every family in San Diego. The whites are going to suffer just as much from de facto segregation. We have an explosive situation, and these bonds are going to perpetuate these buildings and increase the de facto segregation and leave them there in cold concrete and steel. So it is going to be even more difficult in the future to change all this, the geography of it, simply that.
You're saying that the media has a role to play here that's different from what they're doing.
Yes, this is a golden opportunity where the press today could tell everybody in San Diego, what is it that this $91 million is going to do, how it's going to increase the problem that we already have, and to ask everybody to vote no.
I see you got your commercial in there, huh? Tell me you wanted to speak to George before he left, then I'll recognize you.
Sure. All right.
Just because he's going to leave.
Yeah, I have a little bit of a disturbing reaction to what you were saying, George, about our telling you what to do. And it's a little disturbing.
Not what you want to do, what you want us to do is what I say.
Yeah. What we want you
yeah,
to
that's different now.
To turn this wheel around the best for
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
That is a little bit disturbing to me because so often these things boil down to looking the white majority, the good white majority, the George Scott, look to the minority community and say, now, tell us how to do it.
What to do, you say?
Yeah, or what to do. Now, all of the problems that we're talking about, turning around, the white community did not ask the black or the brown community how to set things in motion to bring us to the stage that we're in now. But now it turns around and asks us how to tell you how to turn it around.
No, I didn't say that.
Let me go a step further. I'm going to suggest this, that on the problem we're talking about, it isn't necessary for there to be any great understanding on the part of whites of what, quote, Negro problems are. It's only necessary to understand the history and the culture of this country and how things got to be the way they are. Once you understand that, you won't need much direction from us if you have any commitment to do anything about it. Now, if I have misread what you asked...
No, we have the commitment, or we wouldn't be sitting here. We have the commitment.
With our lives and our money and everything else, if necessary. All I'm asking is that the things that we fail to see, we'd like to have them brought specifically to our attention. That's what I'm asking.
Give me the task force.
The task force. Yeah. All right. That's what I'm asking.
Okay, then we can give that to you.
We don't ask you to solve it. You call on us to help solve it. That's the point I'm making. You ask us to correct these things, do these sort of things. That's
fine. Then I think we have to go back to crystallizing Rosemary's question, and that is whether or not the news media has a responsibility. And if you accept that responsibility, then yes, we will work with you.
We know it already. We've been on the scenes with it. We've been trying to give them. Frankly, I told them in the beginning. I don't think you were here. We've been actually trying to get it the other way, a little face saving for them.
Fine, we're going to work with you.
And we've been up to it. General Krulak being here is part of that deal. We kicked the Union Tribune guy off of our committee. We don't want a character like that on our committee. We want somebody, if Jim himself can't come, which we knew better, then we want somebody who can speak up to Jim.
Okay, then I can accept that. Sure, General Krulak. That concept.
Okay, Chuck, and then Kenny, Dave.
Okay, what I want to say is briefly.
Because if I do, I'll keep it out of the newspaper. Okay?
Was your remark directed to George, Chuck?
To
George.
I want George
to
direct. I want to say this because I want to think it's very important.
Chuck.
All right. One thing. My comments directed to Mr. Garden in one area. This, the getting together of media, newspaper, radio, and television has been done before. But as you said, in other words, that management are controlled sometimes by stockholders, board of directors, and an office somewhere in New York somewhere. But one thing we have at our fingertips that most people are not aware of, especially in the broadcast media, whereas I don't think there's federal law governing newspapers, but the FCC, which governs all broadcast medias within the boundaries of the United States. Now, each radio station, television, and FM station has a promise to the commission. They have to make a promise to do, like how much sales they're going to put on their station, how much live broadcasting they're going to do. If you're in a certain area, how much farm news or except specialized news for an area they promise to do. How much of their programming will be entertainment, and how much public service is their station going to give to the community, and how much news they're going to have on their station. You have these percentages. Each one, they have to fill out an application this big. In other words, on what their promise to the commission is, and background of the people who are in the ownership or directly responsible of running that station. Okay, then. The FCC just included another part of the news setup that each radio station has to include a certain percentage, a promise to the commission of black news. And this is something that has been played down. Now, in this... and these percentages, I figure a direct approach is to the FCC itself, in other words, pertaining to the broadcast media, because you can spin your wheels for days with management and still won't get anywhere. Because the FCC has to act, because most stations, they have to renew their license every 3 years. If they're a new station, they have to renew it every year. In other words, until they have gained a little length of time in broadcasting. So, in other words, if to take the direct approach, in other words, of getting the right type of news, the type of news that can better provide an image for a community, should be taken up at the FCC level for direct attack, because once they make a proclaim a statement to the radio stations, the radio stations got to jump or else they lose their license or not get their license granted back the next period of time. So I think this should be the approach to broadcast media.
You had some reactions to that, Sherwood?
Yeah, I would violently disagree with that. This is the court of last resort. If there's somebody in town here who we feel is not fulfilling its obligation and responsibility with the license that it holds, and it is the consensus of opinion within the organizations like this, CIC, Urban Coalition, and so on, that this is a resistant type of influence in the community, then that is one that requires special action. To be precipitous and to with a blanket indictment before the fact, because it would take some analysis as to who has been doing what, you're throwing a blanket indictment on all radio and television in an area by going directly to the FCC. Now, you don't hold a license on this side of the border, and to antagonize the broadcast industry right out of the box.
Oh, excuse me, Sherwood. I wasn't talking about, in other words, antagonizing. I'm speaking of the factors. In other words, like the broadcast media is fully aware of their responsibility to the public in which they serve. Now, when you get down to saying, well, we need action now. In other words, we need a better image of presentation. In other words, in local news and everything else now, because we have people watching. In other words, the tube and everything that could easily sway their opinion from what is going down on the tube and the way it's being presented to them. In other words, because like this, in the long run, hampers employment, you know, images and everything else. So that's why I'm saying, like, we're trying to find out ways and where we can get to a better. It's not saying that we're going to indict KFMB or the other radio station, your station, or any other station, but we want to get, in other words, the FCC to sort of tighten up. In other words,
The FCC has, as you stated in your original remarks, you're correct. The FCC has told broadcasting stations what they should be doing in this area.
But it takes the general public, in other words, to register the complaint, because your license is granted to the general public.
There is no complaint. There are stations in this town that are doing an excellent job, or if not an excellent job, they've made a good beginning. To run to Big Father before an evaluation of who is not doing a good job. This is
all right. It seems to me that we could discuss that. Yeah. You're talking about methods, whether you go there first or whether you say you approach them directly, is what I understand Stuart Gordon is saying, before using the big thing.
You still get to the same problem, which I thought was revolutionary. That is, nobody sees the man. The guy who owns a very powerful thing in this town, three stations, like the people who own KFMB. This is not an indictment now. I'm just trying to get you to the thing. I've been exposed to all of this for years because with me it's a personal kind of a thing. This is the way I operate a station in any market I've ever been in. But the people who own a Channel 8 don't even know the CIC exists or the Urban Coalition exists. They have a manager here. The manager is committed to making a profit and to do it, not to making his real big waves while he's making this profit. Not an indictment of them. This is the name of the game, the way it's been played.
And as far as you draw your own conclusions as to the indictment, I personally indicted because I don't operate that way. But the same is true of just about, with the exception of Dan McKinnon and myself. Let me give you this one fact, okay? And then there's currently a case of transfer of ownership before the FCC. It involves the 38th largest market in the United States. It's in Virginia, West Virginia. When there is a transfer of ownership of this 38th, within this 38th market of the United States, it will mean, and see what this conjures up in your mind as far as what this portends for America. When the station is transferred, when its ownership is transferred, when permission is given, it will mean that in the top 40 markets of the United States, there will not be a privately owned television station. This is the last one. They've all gone by the boards. They're all group ownership. In the top 20 markets of the United States, as far as radio is concerned, Dan and I, and you'd have some fingers left over, you count the fingers, your right hand, or left hand, depending on where your political spectrum is. We are two of a handful of people left who have private ownership of radio stations in the United States. In the top 20 markets of the United States, there isn't a single one in Los Angeles, a single one in San Francisco, a single one in New York, a single one in Philadelphia. This is appalling, because this coupled with the fact that since World War II, more than 2,000 newspapers have folded or merged in this country, and there are now less, to be precise, there are some 38, 39 cities in the United States that have competing newspapers that are not under the same ownership. So what you're getting is a concentration of power. Now, to break down the concentration of power, there are a number of things to do. The FCC is attacking it now. They're saying that one to a customer. No guy can own a radio and television station. No guy can own a radio and television and FM station. No newspaper can own a television. There is now a real revolutionary thing taking place at the commission that is panicking the broadcasting industry, because there is some, it is incalculable, the billions of dollars that are being laid on the line to break up this power, this economic and political power. Now, that's one way that the FCC is attacking it. Now, the second thing is that there has to be a commitment on the part of these people who have group ownership to come to the cities that they serve. And they must involve themselves in these communities, even if it means that they have to be on the road all the time. Because I have never met the people. I don't know who they are. I wouldn't know them if I tripped over them. The people who are my competitors in this town. That's how much media has become abstract in this country. So when I said, to me, you see, as a broadcaster, as a guy in communications, it was a very revolutionary idea, where there'd be a very much of a demand. Now you said, I want to incorporate your idea now.
That'll make it short there, Gordon. I think we're talking about methods.
Well, I don't know in any other way that,
yeah, I mean, I think
any of this is other than conversation and blowing a lot of smoke.
Yeah. Well, I assume that we're going to do something about that, and we'd have to decide whether or not we're going to ask the group to get those people together.
You see, the truth of the matter is that there isn't anybody here that can do anything about the status quo, except me.
Dan's gone.
Yeah. Now, I'll leave it there for the drama.
Right. Chuck, you going?
Yeah.
You keep your hand up. What's up?
Yeah. Could I make a motion, have you obliged to make a motion, that you as chairman work with CIC and the Communication Task Force, what Sheriff Gordon said, on bringing all of TV and radio and all this together and work out a workshop? Can I have a second from anybody?
Second.
Thank you. Can I have a motion on the floor?
All right, Mr. Adams. Been moved and seconded that I work with the task force and Sherwood Gordon to bring into being his idea.
Yeah.
His idea.
His idea.
Discussion.
For months, every time I read about Borrego Springs, where I have never been, but it sounds like a delightful place, and all these workshops, I've often thought, wouldn't that be delightful to get communication together, talk from eyeball to eyeball?
However, not there.
No, I just, it sounds like...
On the motion? Discussion on the motion?
Question.
On the motion?
Yeah, I think, yeah,
I was tired that way. It was a while ago when you said it, you know. But I kind of forget it. I said, I'm going to put it together. And don't worry, Tom, we're not going.
It's on the motion?
Is this on the motion?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, when you made the idea, I thought it was an excellent idea. When Mr. Offit spoke, and then General Kulak. I was really impressed by it. I thought both men were sincere, but he pointed out just the problem, you know, the two diverse opinions, both, you know, the guideline, not just black, white, the two Americans. And then how do you attack one or the other when both are sincere? But if this comes about without the right attitudes first, you know, because you can get those people together. And the right attitudes say this: I think it would be crazy if I put myself in your place and said that you want to transfer the ownership. But if you can have it and you say, you get on one side, all of your constituents, which is white America, that they demand that the news media report black and brown, report white and long and news exact. Okay? And for the other side, we have what you call community control. We have control over what is said in there, some kind of way. If something happens, then maybe that's far-fetched, but it's the way I perceive it, just coming to the point. Is that when you repeat it, for instance, has to be done unedited or uncut. You begin to get the picture, then you still have what you've given up, and nobody should be able to take it from you, but I'm allowed to protect myself. I think that's a lot more realistic than you're talking about transfer and ownership, because I can imagine what happens on the other side. You know, you would give all this to them crazy black, you know, that's not logical. And I think you can get the people together, and I think there'll be a lot more ready to go off of that, because I'm not really sure who has the station if you report on me, right? Because you probably work and earn that. In doing that, when I begin to survive and make a living and whatnot, then I might begin to buy stock from the bottom and buy a yacht anyway. You can never do that. You can't get a job, you know.
That's it. Any other discussion on the motion?
Yeah, one.
On the motion.
On your motion there, we're talking about top-level management and ownership.
Right.
All right, good.
Okay, those who hold license.
In other words, right. Or manager license.
Manager license. All right. Dave?
I'd like to tie together what's been going on here, and this is, I think, relevant to the motion. I think Mr. Gordon has an excellent idea, and I think that it's applicable to Rosemary's original complaint that black news, brown news is not reported in perspective, so as to get to communicate the right or the correct impression or setting for what happened. I would like to expand on his idea and say that it is great to get the managers and owners together. They can act, absentee ownership notwithstanding. Managers can act if they want to. They have the confidence of their owners, generally speaking. And if you get them together, that's fine. But let's make sure that you give them something to do when you get them together. I think this is a responsibility of the Urban Coalition Task Force, that you can go to the owners, not to get them together and have a nice meeting and lunch or something, and say, okay, fellas, what do we do about this problem? Well, you know what to do about the problem. It's been suggested. You even have the germ of a good idea. And why not make this a newsman communicators workshop, something that can interest the people who actually do the day-to-day work in communicating with the public, both newsmen and disc jockeys and staff announcers, anybody who gets in front of a camera or a microphone and can get interested in this, because if they aren't, they're not really communicators. Let me get the point, okay? Because there is one here.
On the motion.
On the motion, right. I might even put it in the form of an amendment and say that when you put together this consortium of managers and owners, that you make it for the purpose of suggesting to them a specific format for a continuing workshop in sensitivity and even specific news techniques in order to better report, more fully report, more fairly report the minority community and its significance on the majority community. A couple of examples.
Well, wait a minute. Now, kind of narrow down so we can move on, because it's a motion you're talking to.
I think he's getting into the content.
I want to give you two examples that come to my mind of newsman attitudes.
Well, no. You're on content. Yeah, you're on content, Dave. That's what
okay.
You would.
Okay.
Can I zero in a little point?
Well, I suggest we amend the motion on the floor
to
no.
Wait a minute, Dave. What is it you want to amend? What is your amendment you want? Let's hear it first.
Here's the gist of what I want him to do. If he's suggesting that they go ahead and put together Kerry Gordon's idea get the managers and owners together.
I want managers. I want Mr. Meyer summoned from Illinois to a meeting.
Owner.
10 minutes.
Owner. We can fill out the chairman of the people.
You know you're going to have to get the managers in order to get them done.
We want the ownership for a preliminary meeting to commit their managers, and then, you see, health changes.
Right.
Ownership rarely changes.
Okay.
This
has been our hang-up. We've had too many managers and nothing done.
And the managers are on 101 boards on this time.
We can specify who that should be, Dave. I'm trying to get away from the contest.
Okay, what I'm trying to do is, while he's trying to move towards the top, I'm trying to move towards the bottom.
State it so we can get it out, Dave. State what you want so we can hear it.
Okay.
Please let Dave state what he wants so we can tell whether it's content or...
I would like you to say when the Urban Coalition goes to these people, I want to say specifically what they want, not just let's have a meeting. I want to say we have an idea for how to teach your newsmen how to cover this town better.
Present it to them in the form of a challenge. So here they have an opportunity.
I'm trying to decide whether that's part of a motion or that's the way it's going to stay here.
You cannot put implementation into
that
motion.
Yeah, that's implementation.
I'm going to call for the question.
All in favor of the motion as stated, let it be known by the word aye.
Aye.
Opposes? Right. Kenny, may I ask you to look at time? We've got about 5 minutes and we're going to wrap it up. Kenny, and then the DeWitt. Did you finish everything you wanted to say earlier? Okay.
The only thing I wanted to say, Carl, I don't want to let this idea of a scholarship die. If we want to do something effective in this whole business of news and facts, I think that we have an obligation to get the young men in this field. Now, I'm a little confused about what is news. I think maybe we need to kick that one around a bit, because as a professional who brings some know-how to news, it may not be factual, and there's some facts that may not be news. And somewhere between the two, we're getting a mixture. So I'm saying that the idea of a scholarship, we ought to encourage this idea, because I think this is one of the ways in which we can get some relief in this whole business of the image in the community and proper reporting.
He said he would be glad to make a report on his meeting, to which he has already gone. He said he'd be glad to make a report the next time.
I was hearing that somebody had inspired him to do this.
Well, you weren't here the last meeting, then?
No, I was not.
Okay.
Well, you're on top of it, that's all.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
Our committee is on top of it. This meeting with him. Obviously, our agendas are always long if we have more than one item on them. Anytime we have more than one item, unless they're all A, B, and C, D's of that one item, gets to be too long. I'm going to suggest to the committee, he's over there, committee, that you leave the agenda the way it is, and we start with item two. Rather than to add anything else to it, we start with item two. That falls somewhat within the arena that Stuart Gordon's idea. That is, what are we going to do about it, aside from the big meeting he's mentioned? We'll start with two. I would like to ask Chuck Johnson if he will prepare for us in some way some of these detailed things that citizens can do with regard to the FCC. That is, for information. I'm not tying it in with you
at all, though, but I must bring this out.
Go ahead.
And I say this, and he knows how I mean it. The Chuck doesn't hold a license with the FCC.
Yeah.
And I would not want to have anybody advise on procedures with the FCC who has not dealt with the FCC.
I want to put a point on that, because I was the FCC advisor in 1964 for the FCC from the National Association of Television and Radio Announcers. which I'm in line to be probably president of in October. But still, in other words, I've delved in FCC matters. I have letters patting me on the back for my FCC involvement. I met with the FCC in Washington, and so I'm quite familiar with FCC procedures. And if I...
I'm not. Can you do that then, Chuck?
Right.
Can you get us together just factual stuff so we know something about a citizen's role with regard to FCC? And you might include someone such as Shewood or others that might be able to give an input. Final, if you had a comment on that particular point, Dave? But you had a point.
Carol, I feel kind of, I don't know how other people feel, but I feel frustrated as hell.
Good.
In terms of working in the minority community, I still don't see any changes occurring, anything coming up positive. We lost our African history class, I think primarily because it wasn't reported by any of the news media, because we lost it, I say because of this, because we have to keep an enrollment high enough to justify the class. I'm seeing other things that happen. I see we have a monopolistic newspaper here, and I don't know, I can't see many changes. Maybe General Krulak can accomplish some changes, but I've called his office three or four times, and I never get it. He's out of office, and I never get a call back. I just hope that we just don't let this die. I hope we continue to put a little more pressure on the news media, especially our monopolistic paper.
I share your frustration, but perhaps I get all these frustrations out here, and I'm ready to take my hair out because I've already beat it. The final is Mike Schaefer came in, our city councilman. We always recognize the city councilman when he gets here. Used to be a lot of times. Mike usually comes in now just before we leave or early and leave. Mike, we're glad to have you here in spite of the fact that you can't get into these things and put some fire under your fire league, a core league, fire league, hey, that's pretty nice, under your fire leagues to be here. We'd like you to put some screws on them also along with some of us and see if we can't get the others out here.
I saw the Explorer. I've gotten four copies of this so far, so I'm sure that the councilman all got it. I think there's an extra write-up on some of the work and some of the work you're doing, of course, and more.
Is that a commercial for me you're making, Mike?
Yes, it is a commercial for Carol Wyman. I don't know if these are for sale or giveaway. I think they're giveaways, but I think everybody drew my right to look at it.
All right. No, you get those at Zoom CSB. It's very true.
That's not
far,
though.
All right. See you in 2 weeks, then.
You can get it right here if you want.